Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I am pleased and honored and thrilled and delighted to have today as my guest the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Justice Bartlett. And welcome, Justice.
Thank you. What a beautiful introduction.
Well, I'm introducing you that way because I have read, I've been to a Matrix Energetics presentation. I have read most of the Matrix Energetics, the first book, and this, and also this The Physics of Miracles, the second book, and I still have trouble explaining it.
Me too.
I was hoping you were going to explain it and what you do, but what I do know is that you and your dad do miracles, and that you also teach other people to do miracles, and I know people that have been doing miracles just from reading the first book, and so I'm interested in miracles, so and so is this audience, so I wanted you to give us your best explanation.
Me too, and I have to say that I'm guilty as charged. But I would look at us more as being like the doormen for miracles.
Yeah.
You can't really manipulate a miracle, but
the conduit.
The conduit, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely, I think if you learn to, the more we learn to get out of our own way, the more available we become to the presence of miracles in our everyday life. And that's what we teach people, is how to get out of their own way.
Well, your subject today is transforming your life by letting go and using matrix energetics.
That's right.
Most people, you say let go and they clench their teeth, you know.
Exactly. It's get the exact opposite response. Or my favorite one is, okay, I'm trying to let go now. How do I let go? It's like, this is just not happening, right?
Well, you know, even if it's not going well, I think people have had a tendency to want to, well, I know how to do this. This
right.
may be not exactly what I want, but I know how to do this. It's that diving off into something completely new.
It is, and it's, you know, it can be a frightening place to visit, and yet we spend so much of our time saying, you know, how badly we want something to be different, how badly we want change, and then when we're faced with the opportunity to go into different, the idea of losing what's familiar can become so terrifying that we'd rather cling on to the edge of the cliff with our fingernails prying off of our fingers, hanging on for dear life, than let go into what could be possible. And it doesn't have to be that frightening. It can be a gradual, okay, well, maybe I can let go a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and before you know it, you've stepped into a completely different space, but it does come with it's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So we show people how to start, I guess. And the easiest place to start from when you're looking for, whether you're looking for dramatic changes or whether you're looking for small differences, is to begin by noticing, what's different? What haven't I noticed yet? Because that's where the new information lies, if you will.
What haven't I noticed yet?
What haven't I noticed yet? Yeah, I mean, I think most of us have a long-standing relationship with our problems, but they have kind of just been formed from this habit of noticing them there. We notice them there because we notice them there because... because we've noticed them there for days or weeks or years or however long it's been. And in order to change that habit, we need to replace it with a different habit. And that habit can be as simple as beginning to ask, well, what haven't I noticed yet? What could I notice differently right now? And that begins to put you into that open space, if you will. And that's where the space of miracles come from, I feel like.
Now, how did you get to be doing this, and how long have you been doing it?
Okay, so to some degree, I feel like I've kind of been a Pollyanna person my whole life, always, you know, always look on the brighter side of life, Monty Python.
Yes.
Right, that's that aspect of me, that's just a part of who I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I fell into the Matrix world a little over 5 years ago when I needed a drastic change in my own life and the way that I was living. And it brought me back to the arms of my family, who I'd run away from to go have all my troublesome little life experiences. And I was actually just on the tail end of a nasty addiction. And I've been using meth for like 7 years or something around that.
What is that?
Methamphetamine is a really incredibly corrosive street drug. It's real popular in the outlying smaller communities as well as the bigger cities because it can be easily manufactured out of nasty home chemicals, basically. It's really awful stuff. It's just brutal. So I was coming off of leaving that, and I landed in Matrix. I landed back with my dad, and
I'm so glad.
Me too. Oh my gosh, me too. Learning to how to apply these tools in my life became my new drug. It became my habit to replace that habit.
Well, you know, I want to say something about addiction and alcoholism as well. Is that always the being part of the person is seeking a better life. You know, it's seeking more aliveness. It's seeking being able to feel and experience life. And that, I believe that's how addictions get started. But what is happening now, in addition to Matrix energetics and all kinds of other modalities for people, to improve their life and actually transform their life, is that they're coming into soul satisfaction. You know, it's not only having a happy life, but being available, being a cup of love overflowing so that you serve everyone around you with everything you do.
I agree with you so much, and I can use my own experience to kind of notice how through our society we use different things to fill in that space, whether it's our jobs, whether it's, you know, compulsively buying stuff, whether it's sex or food or any of the what have yous. There's just different levels of what we consider to be socially acceptable replacements for that sound. And I went off the deep end a little bit, that's all. But having that as a reference, I've really been able to apply my knowledge of coming back from that place to seeing how everybody does it to one degree or another. It's more of, I don't like to use labels and everything, but it's much more of a codependency than an addiction. And I think that it's interwoven so deeply through all of our society that in one way, shape, or form, or another, most of us are doing it.
You know what I think, you know what I wish about drug addictions is, I wish all drugs were made legal, and they were taxed, and in that, the tax fund was set aside for when people were ready for their own transformation, you know, when they said, okay, I've done drugs now. I want to clean up. I want something else. And then they're offered things like Matrix energetics as the, you know, as they're rebuilding.
Oh, I think that's such a great idea.
Isn't that good? Don't you love that?
That is really good.
Oh, I just love it. And, you know, the first thing that would happen, I think, is the stigma would be taken off. You know, there's this shame and hiding what the person is doing.
Oh, boy, have you nailed that one on the head. The guilt is one of the hardest things to let go of, not to overcome, but to let go of. I mean, if you take your guilt and try to climb on top of it, that's going to be a really unstable foundation. But if you can let go of it into the presence of grace, it's forgiveness. It's the presence of divinity. It's all of these things that we've been hiding from ourselves that we suddenly have available to ourselves because we don't have to feel bad about not being able to access it anymore.
Yeah, and I think there's such an awakening taking place now that people are kind of going into the extremes of those things, but they're really, really seeking their divinity within and the ability to be the conduit for miracles for themselves and for others. I just feel that with all my being, Justice. And I think it's why it's so popular what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the popularity of it is just growing, whether it's the arena of matrix energetics or Reiki, if you've heard of this guy, Bracco, who stares at people and their lives change. I mean, all of these different...
No, I haven't heard of him.
He's brilliant. He's just brilliant. I don't know if he's some Italian guy or what he is. His name is Bracco, and he does
gazing
sessions that he stands in front of these people, and they just... They gaze into him like gazing into his eyes, like into the window of the soul, and this direct link with divine awareness, and they are healed and they're transformed, and they bring people pictures of their people from home, and those people are healed and transformed.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's Bracco.
I think it's Bracco.
And is he on YouTube or anything?
I think he is. I'm gonna look him up here because there was a great discussion going on about him on the Matrix Energetics message board was where I first came across it, which anybody can go to and become a member. You don't have to have been to a seminar. You can read the posts, and then in order to sign up and create a post yourself, you just become a member. But it's Bracco, and I believe you can find him on YouTube. And he just does these gazing sessions, so he just stares at people and their lives change.
Whoa!
And I have to say, we've had some similar experiences in seminars where people come and they participate for a weekend, or they even come in for a Friday night 2-hour free event. And they find that they have conditions in their body that are healed, or that they go home and they feel differently about their relationships. And this is why we'll reiterate over and over and over again that we're not doing anything. We are, as you mentioned, becoming the conduit. Even more than the conduit, I just like the door. I am the open door which no man can shut. That is me.
Ooh, that is such a beautiful thing from the Bible. I love that. I am the open door.
I'll take it even further. He that believes in me as in matrix energetics shall never die.
Well, tell people how they can reach the matrix energetics website and everything.
So the link for matrix energetics is www.matrixenergetics.com. And you can go on there and you can read about the seminars. You find classes in your area. You can look on the message board, read what people are saying about seminars. It's a fun little website.
And you can also see some of the videos, right?
Are those just clips
on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there are some clips on YouTube as well.
Yeah. I have a theory. So many people, lose consciousness when you touch them or your father touches them. And my theory is that the change that takes place is so great the conscious mind can't process it, and it has to be assimilated that way.
I would agree with that theory. I have several theories about it, actually, and they're all really kind of lost, and I'm just making stuff up, of course. But
okay, I want to hear all of them.
So the first one in line with what you were just saying is, yeah, I think that it's like a computer getting a new software program, and when you get that new program installed, it has to shut down so it can reboot. So there's
the giant rebooting.
Giant reboot, right?
Yeah.
So there's that theory. I have another theory about the field of electromagnetism and the energy coming back towards us being the signature that's embedded within that, being what they call scalar electromagnetism. And when we activate those forces together, it actually disrupts the field of our electromagnetic field and creates like a blip in the way that we feel and observe gravity. So in one essence, when people are going down, you can also think about them as levitating down. It's like we would be levitating if we thought we could, but instead we just kind of go down. This is
what. Well, you know, the other thing I love about matrix energetics, and you're talking to someone that's been, you know, to the boot camp of enlightenment in the 70s. I went to EST, in fact, my whole family did, and it was arduous and hard, and it, you know, everybody's heard the story about how they don't let you pee for 12 hours and,
oh,
you know, and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, the boot camp of enlightenment, the Marine Corps, you know. And matrix energetics is so different. It's so fun. It's so playful. It's so light. It's so delightful.
That's one of my favorite parts. It is, and again, you know, I can go back to quoting parts out of the Bible when Jesus talks about you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that childlike state that gives us access to those other dimensions, those other vibrations of reality. It doesn't come from the adult's mind that's so used to judging and measuring and relating all of our experiences that link together in some way that makes sense to that conscious part of our being. It's about getting back into the field of our heart, getting into the center of our awareness and tapping into those parts of our being that love to play so that we do become like a child and we access what we call an innocent perception. And then we begin to transform. We literally get to see people appear to age in reverse. I'm not kidding you. I get to sit on the stage and people become lighter and lighter and lighter and more joyous. It's such a wonderful experience.
Oh, it really is. And the most wondrous thing, I think, is that you have started Matrix Energetics for kids.
Yeah!
Imagine how we would be if we started out with that, Justice.
You know, and that's the question that brought that program into being. It was that question, what would it be like if you would have had these tools your entire life?
Woohoo!
Just
kind of raises the hair on the back of your neck to think about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely got one of those little tingles. The other question that was a big part in birthing it, or the other aspect of it, was what being connected to this field has done for my family. Because a lot of people think that, oh, you know, you grew up at this whatever, your dad, he's so great, he's so fun. Our family was not always as connected as we are now. There's always been a lot of love there, but it was very different. And we have become so much closer and just so much more of a unit. And we all, you know, I work with my father. My brother works with us. I mean, it really is a family business, even extended into the people that work for us. It's like a big family. And so the kids class is actually a family class because it is devoted to working with this energy within the family unit and how to use it to change aspects that you'd like to change now and how to grow and develop with it into adulthood and into the future.
Wow. And how too. I think that so often children feel helpless because there are people around them telling them they don't know. They don't know what they want, that, you know, everybody knows better than them, that their contribution isn't wanted. And instead, they have this toolbox where they can do miracles, and they have to know that they matter in the world already.
And I think that is so valuable that it is, you are all that you will ever be as you come into this world. There is nothing outside of yourself that will ever add or detract from that, but it's so convincing to think that there is, and to think, you know, it's all about who am I going to become when I grow up, and just valuing the wisdom that they come with inherently is just, they're so amazing, they're so bright. I mean, I ask them questions, and it's like, okay, would you like to teach my class now? Because clearly I'm here to learn from you.
Yes. Woohoo! Well, I think it's been kind of the opposite, Justice, is that people do know as they come in. They're closer to God. They remember God, you know, and then they start forgetting and going to sleep because it's painful to have those things told to them over and over. You don't know. You don't matter. Your opinion doesn't count. You have nothing to contribute till you grow up. You know.
I would agree. Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And wow, that really touched a deep emotional chord for me. I feel like I was raised in a secluded kind of spiritual community. So in some aspects, I was really kind of sheltered from a lot of strangeness in the world. And in other aspects, I was really brought up in a lot of strangeness. And I remember having those feelings as I was getting, particularly into my teenage years, wow, it really touched me even now. Just that there's so much pain with the way that people treat each other, and the lack of respect for the self, for the greater self. It's just the lack of recognition for it. I feel like a big part of that, my going into doing drugs and everything, was my need to escape from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do I wind up doing? Knocking myself way out of my body and creating all this whole situation. But having been through that, and some of the people that I met, like, get such a resonance with people wanting to do that. And what I love about what we're doing now is we offer people a different way to look at the world, another reality, if you will, that you can step into moment by moment from your own heart into your own field of awareness without needing to ingest these chemical substances in order to access these other dimensional states of consciousness. And it's such a valuable tool because I feel like so many people are looking for it. And a lot of them don't even know what they're looking for, but they know that they're looking.
Yeah. I remember a real turning point in my life was I wanted to do a radio show, and I had a problem finding the right opening, you know, and so it took me a long time to get it set up and find my niche. And I saw this, I was just kind of passing by the TV one day, and I saw this horrible thing that was just such a disservice to everyone that would come in contact with it, you know. And I got in the shower, and I was just kind of bitching at God, and I said, you know, this really sucks. You can't open the door for me, but you'll allow shit like that to be on the radio and television. I just bitched in my head off. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, and it said, stop. Whatever anybody is doing, if they don't do anything but crosswords, if they kick dogs, if they go to war, if they work in a slaughterhouse, if they do drugs, whatever they're doing what they need to do to get to God. And it's not your job to judge. And I just felt like a billion pounds went off my shoulders because I can trust everybody's on purpose.
Yeah.
Everybody's on purpose, and we are devout beings seeking the light. And you know, we just, I have perfect trust that people are learning their lessons where they are.
As do I, and that is, that's one of the things that I find really useful in working with people in, like, private sessions is already recognizing the wholeness that is them.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of healing being something that I'm going to bring to somebody, I don't feel like I'm capable of that. But I am capable of noticing, oh, you are a perfect and whole being. You are. Can I help you notice that about yourself?
Yeah. And where two or more are gathered together, they may ask and agree on what they will, and it shall be done.
Aha. And there I am in the midst of them. There is that oneness. Yeah.
And what you're doing is creating the holy instant. Do you want to change? Yes. And you want them to change. And their being wants them to change.
Right.
And so it's done.
And that is one of the most valuable things, and one of the things that, and this can bring us back to our topic, to letting go, is so a lot of this this consciousness technology, what we call Matrix, is founded on the idea of quantum principles, or quantum physics, quantum mechanics. And in the quantum world, there is no past, there is no future, there is really only this great big smeared out present that we relate to through different positions in our awareness. One of the most useful things about this awareness is that there are all of these different dimensions, different possibilities, different realities where things are already in existence, right? So mm-hmm. Here's this idea that I want to heal. Well, here I am as a healed being. There's that potential that I can then access. So there's that done you were talking about. It's already there. It's already been complete. So if I can just link myself up to that awareness where it could be possible, you don't even have to believe it. You just have to go to this could be possible. And then you feel that link. And you've made a connection with that awareness and your reality, and then all you have to do is let go of what isn't serving that awareness in this moment.
Well, you know, let's go back to that becoming as a little child thing, because I think that life is very much like this. Do you remember when you were playing with your friends and you kind of narrate what you were going to do? What we would do is we couldn't get the boys to play house with us. So we'd go, oh, our husbands are at work, and we're taking the babies, and we're going to go downtown. We get them all dressed up, and then we'd act it out.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that life is like that, and that we're always doing that in our adult life.
I agree, and I think that, and again, that comes back to that habit thing, is we just run these habits without even realizing that we're doing them. And a lot of them are the continued occupation in our awareness of just noticing the same thing in the same old way over and over again. And the reality is every time you breathe in and breathe out in between that space, you are different. You have the potential to be different. Life is about transformation. It is always moving. It is always transforming. The only constant is change. And we just forget to notice that we're changing. Where do I look for change?
Well, you know, I had a wondrous, wondrous teacher in the 80s, and I remember her saying that when after the in-breath, before there's an out-breath, that there's actually a void, that nothing you've been creating exists. And then breathing out, there's a choice to recreate what you've been creating or create something else. And that's there in every breath.
I agree. And the only difference that I would make in that is rather than creating, allowing yourself to become the witness.
Oh, allowing yourself to become the witness.
So just pause with that for a second. Because you can't be a bad witness. You can just notice something and then you can notice something differently. And in between those breaths is that opportunity to step into a different space and choose to notice something differently.
And it's just like kids. Now let's play something else.
Exactly.
Well, you know, let's talk about the morphic field a little bit, because you know what I noticed is I was stunned as I was reading the books, because I kept kind of having this inward conversation with your dad, and I was saying things to him like, now let me see if I understand what you're saying. I think you're saying, holy quantum leap, Batman, we're not in Kansas anymore. And then I found the very thing. In one of the books, it said, we're not in Kansas anymore. I found it after
right. It
came to me. And I kept talking to him as Batman, and then we showed up at one of his seminars, and he's dressed up as Batman.
In his suit, yeah.
Blew me away, but I felt like I had really already tuned in to the morphic field.
Absolutely.
I can't explain it more than that.
Absolutely. And for people who aren't familiar with the idea of what a morphic field is, they could look up Rupert Sheldrake. He talks about morphic fields. He talks about morphogenetic fields. And basically, it's the idea that if everything is light and energy and information, that any idea that is grounded in the physical would have a field of information that would be contained throughout the unified field of consciousness, if you will. The Akashic records, if you will. So these morphic fields are just these informational energetic templates that we all have access to all the time. And the more thought and energy that's put into using them, the bigger that these morphic fields become. So you can have something really useful like the morphic field of matrix energetics, which is all about expansion and transformation. And the more people play in that field, the bigger that it gets. And then you have something like the morphic field of cancer. And it's when you become a witness to it, you become a part of all of the different pieces and interactions in this field. So if you're playing in the morphic field of energetics, you've got lots. I mean, you can feel it. It's just you've got options. You've got possibilities. You've got a lot of different people who are tapping in with a lot of different intentions with the desire to change and expand. Same thing. So you feel the morphic field of cancer. You've got a lot of information, a lot of different ideas and inputs and experiences that are all contributing to this field of information. And from becoming the witness to these experiences, when we witness something, we become it. So if we are witnessing, say, this field of cancer, we're part of this field. We can change the way that we relate to that just by witnessing in a different way. And then we tap into the matrix energetics field, become the witness to the matrix, and then everything falls out, flux and possibility.
Well, I have to tell you that every time I start reading, this is why I can't explain it. Every time I start reading about quantum physics, and every time somebody starts talking about it, I sort of feel like my head starts spinning around. there's a part of me that just gets it.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of me that's like, but what? Where am I? It makes absolute sense, and it's such a different way of thinking about things. But it's really the basis of creation.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely feel that way. And it's not such an out there idea as it used to be. A lot of energy, a lot of resources, and a lot of studies are going into proving and researching this idea that consciousness is the determining factor in creation. What we observe, we do become, we do realize, we do create. And this is definitely the X factor in any experiment that anybody does on anything is the consciousness of the observer. And as we observe our realities, we are definitely participating in how we create and how we notice that reality playing out. And that's our life. That's our existence. This is very practical, metaphysical, high science spirituality. Very practical.
It's so practical. And it makes life so much easier. I'll give an example. I have a friend who was reading the first book, Matrix Energetics, The Science and Art of Transformation. And her cat was acting funny. And the cat's about 15. And it looked like she had a discharge from her mouth, and then Joanna touched her face and she yelped, and so she thought, oh no, she's going to need dental work. And you know how traumatic it is for a cat to go to the vet in the first place, but you know, to anesthetize a 15-year-old cat is risky and, you know, all of those things. And so Joanna was reading the book, and she read about the 2-point, and I want you to talk about that a little bit. She did the 2-point on her cat, and it was instantly healed. She hasn't had any more trouble with her teeth. She's been eating regularly. The smell went away. Everything. Instantly. And so an animal was able to respond to that.
Absolutely. Animals are great to practice on because they don't have any of our preconceived notions about what is or isn't possible. They're just like, okay, oh yeah, I recognize that. That feels like God. Okay, I could go with that. Sure. Like, done.
Yeah, that would feel better. I like
right.
that option better.
Right, definitely. None of this idea, okay, well, now I have to do this and this. It's just like, okay, here's this possibility. Yeah, I can go with that. Sounds good. But we can do the same thing. We definitely can. And it's happening more and more on a consistent basis, I feel like. So, two-pointing. So, again, we'll talk a little bit about quantum physics just to kind of lay the groundwork for this. Basically, what you have in quantum physics is you have two possibilities for how to notice information or how to notice a particle-based reality. One is in a waveform, and this is wherein it's in a possibility state. Two, this is the particle state. This is where things are locked, fixed. So what we tend to do is we notice our reality in this particle-based state. When we make a measurement, so this is what I notice now, maybe this is what I haven't noticed yet. You've performed a measurement, right? Here to here. So what you have is you've attached your consciousness to something that you're noticing, and you attach your consciousness to something else that you notice, and you can do it physically with your hands, or you can do it in your mind. It really doesn't matter. The results will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the idea of a two-point. You need 2 points to measure anything, and this connects you into that field of possibility, and it allows you to go from being a particle state to a wave state. The nice thing about being the wave state is that is the possibility state. That is where everything's in a state of flux and potential. So to make this practical, you want to notice that at the most fundamental level of our being, our composition, we've got a nucleus, we've got an electron, right? This is the composition of the atom. So an electron, as they have found out, is not a solid orbit. It is more like a cloud of potential. And when we look at it, it stops and it fixes itself into one thing. So this is how we spend most of our time. We notice our reality, we notice our problems, it's stopped, it's fixed into one thing. When we take our attention off of it, or when we let go, it moves back into that potential state, which is also that wavefront state. Okay? So when we perform a two-point, we're going from this is the state of being to this is the state of possibility.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So one of the ways that we tell people to access this is to drop down, place intent, and let go. And these are the fundamental steps. Drop down means to roll your eyes, drop a pebble down the center of your being, out of your head, and kablunk, right into the pool of your heart. Place intent can be as simple as, this is what I notice, my first point. This is what I haven't noticed yet, my second point. Now I'm just going to let go of my awareness of either of those points, and you can drop even further down. So that kerplunk. And you can kind of feel how your body will relax. You might want to take a breath. You may totally lose consciousness completely, and that's okay. You just may feel more relaxed. But that gives you access to that possibility state. That opens your physiology to be more responsive. That gives you the ability to relax. And when you relax, you move out of that fight or flight mode. You move out of habit reaction mode, and you move down into your heart, which is where you are able to respond. Responding gives you the ability to notice what's different, and noticing what's different is the key to change in your life.
That's so lovely. You know, at this point, I really want to recommend that people investigate more matrix energetics and participate in the morphic field however you feel ready, like read the books by Richard Bartlett, look at the videos on YouTube, join the message board at Matrix Energetics website, and how else? How
is it my website?
What?
Contact me.
Okay, yours is different?
Mine, yeah, I'm different at www.justiceinsight.net.
Okay.
And people can contact me for private sessions. They're interested in learning how to do this themselves. A lot of my sessions do involve coaching people and how to begin playing with Matrix. As you said, the books are a great tool. There's also a DVD kit that's available from, let's see, I want to say I want to say Beyond Words. I think that's correct. You can find it on Amazon if you look up Matrix Energetics.
Well, I really want to recommend that DVD set because I have a friend that has it. And she shows it to everybody. And the first time you see it, it's that head-turning around experience. And like, what was that? And then the second time, there's more understanding and recognition. The third time, you notice all kinds of things that weren't noticed the first time and the second time. And I just really, really recommend those.
Yeah, the DVD is great. There's also, what I was trying to say was the CD set, which I think is a series of maybe 6 CDs, and that's also available, I think, through Amazon or off the Matrix Energetics website. And that's great. That was a live recording done in Boulder, Colorado. And again, it's the same thing with the DVD. The first time you listen, you get something. The second time you listen, you get something else. It's just layers of information that's embedded through the whole thing. And you want to remember, every time you go to step into play in this field, the field is different. You are different. What you will notice and what you will begin to be able to notice is going to expand and expound greatly every time because you are always changing.
Well, you know what else I think is just absolutely necessary for the well-being of people is to feel like they're truly growing and expanding. And it gives opportunity for that to grow and expand and contribute.
I agree. Absolutely.
You know, when I was at an introduction, there was a man there who had only read the 2 books. He hadn't done any of the, it was his first introduction, and he actually used one of the tools to resurrect a dog that he saw get hit and killed in front of his eyes.
Yeah, that's kind of an amazing story, huh?
It's great. Do you want to tell it?
You told it pretty well. This gentleman who, you, as you said, never been to a seminar, hadn't heard of just read the books. I guess it was a motorcycle that hit this dog, and this dog was lying there, its life force ebbing out, not breathing. I don't know if it's his heart not beating, fading very fast. And this gentleman just had the thought, huh, I wonder if I put a pole here and a pole here, and then I think he time traveled. And we just time traveled back to before this happened. I just wonder what would happen. Just get curious. You can't screw it up, so you might as well try, right?
The dog is dead. What do you got to lose?
Exactly. So, boom, this dog comes back. It gets up, it shakes off, it goes running over to its owners, and it was fine. And again, animals, no preconceived notions about what is or isn't possible. Results may not be typical. Your results may vary, but it can't hurt to try. And you never know what can happen when you do.
Oh, yes. And then there's this other animal story in one of the books. I forget which one, but this...
About the one getting slammed in the door.
Yes, yeah, about that. That's so great.
So this woman had her dog. She was going to the beach. She was getting out of the car, and at the last minute, this little dog that she was babysitting wasn't even her dog.
Ooh. Oh, that makes it even worse.
goes to hop out, and I think it was like a little chihuahua, really small dog, and gets slammed in the door right as she's closing it.
Oh.
And she heard a yelp, she heard a crunch, she opened the door, dog's gushing blood everywhere. She takes the dog, wraps it in her shirt. She'd just come from a Matrix seminar. She calls the vet, and she's barreling through traffic, trying to do every single idea that we mentioned in the seminars, time travel, parallel universes, matrix frequencies, archetypes, anything that she could think of, just throwing them all at this dog. And she's totally hysterical, you know, not having time to center herself or meditate or any of that, just I need it now, right?
Yeah.
And she gets to the vet's office, and she's like, oh, God, I've screwed up. It's dead. It's going to die. And she's crying hysterically, and she hands the dog to the vet, and he unwraps
with her shirt soaked in blood.
Soaked in blood.
Like more blood than a dog could have that size.
And the vet unwraps the dog, and he is a matrix practitioner, too, by the way. Looks at the woman and says, it's okay. You did good. The dog's going to be okay. And she's like, no, she can't even look. There's too much blood. There's no way. He's like, no. You did good. They looked down at the dog, and there was a little cut on the dog's leg, and that was it. That's all there was. And they put a bandage on it. They put the dog down. The dog was walking. The dog was fine. And she goes, well, I thought that Dr. Bartlett was just absolutely full of it, but maybe not.
Woo-hoo. Isn't that wonderful? And just to be available to bring that kind of good to one animal is worth, you know, years of study.
And she acquired the access point. I wouldn't say the skills or the ability, but the access point just in her need, really, for something to happen. And I think that we all have that capability hardwired inside of us, that when we really, really need a miracle, we manifest an angel. We manifest miracles all the time. We just edit them out of our awareness because it doesn't fit the bill for what we expect to see as normal. So what if we changed what the bill of normal looked like? What if we began to include miracles within our normal day experiences? How much would life change for everybody? I mean, dogs can do it. We can do it. We can do it, people. We can do it.
You bet. We have about 3.5 more minutes. Tell people again how they can reach you.
My website, justiceinsight.net, and check out matrixenergetics.com as well. And look forward to seeing you all, hopefully at a seminar or for private session. And
now, can people have a private session before they've done the seminar?
Yes, anybody can have a private session anytime, anywhere. And I'm really open to playing with people, and I just love playing with people. I have real serious clients that I work on who are dying of stage 4 cancer, and I have people who want to change and expand just the way that they notice their life and their relationships and how they interact. There's no limit to what you can do with this work, because it's not really work. We're just playing.
Well, I've had a session with Justice, and I can't recommend it highly enough. And it was fun, it was playful, it was joyful, it was fruitful, and I just can't recommend this work enough. As I said, I am interested in people living miraculous lives. And, you know, I'm also interested in, as more and more of us know about these things and are using them, what can we do to say, you know, like if you hear something horrid on the news and you say, geez, I wish it was this way, or, you know, and do the two-point on it. If a lot of people were doing the two-point on it, it would have to transform. Because that's what we're voting for.
Two-pointing everything is a great. It's such a good game. It's like, okay, this is what I noticed, and how could I notice that differently? What would it be like if it changed?
I think we get
enough people doing that, and the planet's changing. I mean, it's changing already, and it's not about changing the planet. It's about changing yourself, each and every one of us at the individual level. And then the world just becomes different. It can't help it.
Because it is a hologram.
Because it is a hologram. Yeah, exactly. And because we are all connected in the unified field, when one changes, everything changes. and it's a very, very small percentage of the people. And I think it's like 0.1% when 0.1% hits a different vibrational level, it affects the entire population. So each and every person who participates in this game at whatever level is right and fun for them is doing their part to change the planet just by living more genuinely.
And more joyously. And more closely to, the happiness that God intended for all of us. And it's an opportunity to go, as a child, now let's play something completely different. I would like to play something completely different.
I'd like a new game now, please.
Because we're tired of that one. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us and all that you're contributing to life and the upliftment of it, Justice.
Thank you.
I thank you with all my heart. Will you come back?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to.
All right, my darling. I love you, and I thank you for being here, and I thank all of our listeners for giving us an opportunity to turn your head around here. And I'll be back Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Aw, men, aw, women, aw, children, and yeehaw!